with the ministry on this coming trip. Next week we'll have another dentist with us. That doesn't happen very often, so we're really excited about that. That's been a prayer request of ours for years. And the Lord directed my wife and I to meet, I was going to say husband and wife, father and son dental team. They work together in Mississippi. And the son is going to join us on this trip in February, and the father's going to come in August, on the trip to August. So we're excited about that. We're just praying that the Lord would help us in that way, because as it is now, if we're going to do any kind of dental ministry, it has to be me that goes. And I know I look young, but I'm not as young as I look. And so I don't know how much longer we can do, keep up the pace, but we just go as long as the Lord allows us to do it. So thankful for that. We appreciate your prayers for that. We're going to look this morning briefly at Psalm 40. Psalm 40, and I appreciated that special music, that song this morning, and kind of goes along with what we're going to talk about here this morning from Psalm 40. And I would like to take the time here to read through the psalm that many of you are very familiar with, Psalm 40. We'll start in verse 1. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken a hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. The psalm is especially encouraging for us as in times when we go through trials. And we've heard about that this morning. And I know many of you here are going through trials. I don't know a lot of you, but in the church this side, many are going through trials. It's part of our Christian lives. And the last verse of the psalm kind of summarizes the psalm. It says in verse 17, But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. In other words, the psalmist is kind of encouraging us, talking about the fact that we need to recognize what condition we're in. What is our condition? He says there that we are poor and needy. We need to look in the right direction. He says there, Thou art my help and my deliverer. And then we have to ask God for help. Make no tarrying, O my God. God is going to be the source of our deliverance from whatever difficulty that we might find ourselves to be in, whether it's a physical problem, a financial problem, a family problem, whatever it is. God is going to be the one that's going to help us in those things. And so we're all going to go through struggles in our lives, and we want to be encouraged by the Word of God and by God Himself in these difficult times. In the first four verses, about the first four verses of this psalm, we want to see four things. We're going to see four things three times in this psalm. So if you can keep the numbers straight. In these first four verses, we'll see four things that God wants us to do. Four things that God wants us to do. And those four things are, He wants us to wait, He wants us to cry out, He wants us to trust, and He wants us to keep focused. We heard about keeping focused in Sunday school this morning. So, verse 1, it says here, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. And so the psalmist here is talking about, probably David, he's talking about the fact that he waited patiently for the Lord. And it's not this kind of waiting, like a nervous waiting. It's a patient waiting, an intent waiting, a waiting with expectation. He's expecting God to help him in the circumstances that he found himself in. But it's not always easy to wait, is it? But God wants us sometimes. He puts us in a position that we have to wait. And that's what David says here. I waited patiently, or I waited expectantly for the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 talks about waiting as well, and it's a very encouraging verse to a lot of us. A lot of us have it memorized. I have it memorized, but not from the pulpit. So I want to try to find it in my Bible. I know it's in my Bible, but Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, verse 31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So waiting. So God sometimes wants us to wait in the difficulties that we find ourselves in. He also wants us to cry out to Him. He says that here again in verse 1 as well, that He waited patiently for the Lord, and God inclined unto me and heard my cry. So God wants us to cry out to Him. And this word indicates a cry for help in distress. You know, when we're in the middle of a trial, we're in distress. We don't sometimes know which way to turn. And sometimes we can find ourselves to be at a breaking point. When is this going to be over? I don't think I can take it much longer. I'm sure there are times in our lives that we have thought that way. And that reminds me of the Israelite people when they were in bondage in Egypt. For over 400 years they were in bondage. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, it says, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came unto God by reason of the bondage. And verse 24 says this, and God heard. And God heard. So God wants us to cry out to Him, and God is going to hear our cry. In Psalm 34, verse 15, Psalm 34, verse 15, it says this, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. So God is waiting for us sometimes to cry out to Him when we have difficulty in our lives. So He wants us to wait. He wants us to cry out to Him. And He also wants us to trust Him. He wants us to place our confidence in Him. Verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. We need to place our confidence in the Lord. He's the one that is going to be able to help us. He is our refuge. He is our security. Verse 5 says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So God wants us to trust Him, to make Him our trust, make a habit of trusting God. Psalm 71, verse 5 says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth." It has to be a habit in our lives that we are trusting God no matter what the circumstances are that we find ourselves in. One of the things that brought my wife and I into the ministry that we're in today is the fact that we saw early on in our ministry that we could trust God. That we could trust God no matter what kind of difficulties that we faced. Our second trip, way back in 1996, was probably to this day one of our worst trips that we ever were on. But God used that in our lives, put us in this ministry because we saw that no matter what kind of trial was brought before us, God was there to help us. We could trust Him. So God wants us to trust Him. And He wants us to keep focused. That's also here in verse 4. "Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." Keep focused. Don't go off course. Don't look to somebody else or something else to help you in the difficult time. It says here, verse 4 again, let me read it again. "Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respects not the proud, nor such as turn unto lies." The proud, the deceiver, those that go astray after a lie. We don't want to put our trust in somebody that is not going to be able to help us or is going to lead us in the wrong path. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Proverbs 16, verse 9. It tells us there that a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. God is going to be the one who's going to direct our steps in the right way. Other people may try to direct us in the wrong way. We saw that in our Bibles, in the very first part of our Bibles, in Genesis chapter 3, didn't we, with Satan is leading Adam and Eve in the wrong way. So God wants us to do these things. He wants us to wait on Him. He wants us to cry out to Him, to trust Him, and to keep focused. And if we do those things, God is going to do four things for us, we see in this psalm. And those four things are, He's going to open up, and we'll see how that fits in. Open up, He's going to bring us up, He's going to set us up, and He's also going to hold us up. So He's going to open up, bring us up, set us up, and hold us up. He's going to open up His ears. He's going to open up His ears. And again, we see that in verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He inclined unto me, or we can kind of picture God kind of bending down and listening to us as we cry out to Him. He heard our cry. And it's not a cry of disinterest. It's an effective hearing. It's not a hearing of disinterest. I'm sorry. It's an effective hearing. He's the one that's going to be able to help us. And so we cry out to Him, and He hears us. Therefore, Micah 7:7 says, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the Lord of my salvation. My God will hear me." God's going to hear you when you cry out to Him. He's not going to turn a deaf ear to you. And that's an encouragement, should be an encouragement to us all. But we need to be doing the things that God wants us to be doing. Otherwise, He's not going to hear our cry. We also heard that in Sunday school. And so God will open up or open up his ears to us. And God will bring us up. Verse 2, it says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going." He brought us up out of a horrible pit, a pit of destruction, desolation. We think of Joseph and when we talk about people being thrown in pits, and the prophet Jeremiah was also being thrown in a pit. He brought us up out of the pit, horrible pit, out of the miry clay, muddy dirt. Every time I read this verse 2, I think of Mexico. Kevin Moody was there with us several years ago when we went to this village in Mexico, where we were staying. The men were staying in this home, kind of on the top of a little hill. And to get up to this home, you had to walk through this mud. And you could not keep your shoes on. I mean, you'd step in that mud and it would just suck your shoes right off your feet. And it would just cake you. There's no way you could get into that house without being all muddy. That's what I think of when I think of my request, just something that really sticks to you. And sometimes we can feel that we are that low and that stuck in a difficult trial. And there's no way that we're going to get out of it. And what does it say here, verse 2? He brought me up. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. So God will bring us up. So he'll open up his ears, he'll bring us up, and then he'll set us up. And that's what it says in verse 2. He set my feet upon a rock, a solid foundation, contrasting the muddy dirt, the dirt that your feet just stick into. God's going to bring us up and set us up on a rock, a fortress or stronghold, and establish our goings. He's going to hold us up there on this rock. He's going to establish our goings. Our goings or our steps will be firm because they're going to be directed by the Lord, ordered by the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And then Psalm 37, verse 31 says, the law of his God, the righteous person, is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. So God is the one that is going to take us up out of that pit, out of the difficult trial that we might be into, and set us up on a firm foundation and establish our steps, point us in the right direction, help us to keep going in the right way. So we need to wait patiently. We need to cry out to God. We need to trust God. Keep focused. God is going to open up his ears. He's going to hear us. He's going to bring us up, set us up, and hold us up. And then the final four things, the third four things that we'll see in this psalm, is that the result of this will be, first, we're going to praise. Verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. As God brings us out of that horrible pit, we're going to be praising God. He's going to bring into our lives a new, fresh occasion to praise him. And then our testimony will be effective to people. It'll be a way that we can share our faith to people. It says there in verse 3, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. As you recount how faithful God has been to you in the difficult times in your life, that's a testimony to those that need to know God. Many shall see it and fear. And then a third result will be happiness. Verse 4, blessed is that man, or happy is that man, that makes God his trust. And then the fourth thing that will result here is magnification. We have to go to the end of the psalm to see that. Verse 16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. As we experience the faithfulness of God in our lives, we are going to want to shout out how faithful God is, and God is, the name of God is going to be magnified. And that's what we want to do. Glorify God, even in the difficult times in our lives. So we're all going to go through trials, and God is the one that we need to turn to in those difficult times. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing trials into our lives, even though they are difficult for us at times. Thank you that you are a faithful God and you desire to bring good from these difficult times that we experience. We thank you that we serve a God that we can trust, that in those times of difficulty we can turn to you and we can know that you will hear our cry and that you are a God who is capable of helping us, to bringing us up out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay, and setting us back up on a sure foundation. We rejoice in your love for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.